Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Way to go there, Eamon. This is not Mud at Night. This is WEEI Late Night.
Labeled Late Fourier. Night, just for the record.
Christian Fourier, 25 for 25.
We couldn't even get a show title. Like, you guys got,
right?
Like,
yeah, they got
you
it
guys
wrong.
Got like the yeah. Dollar Store Love Line thing going on from 10 to 12.
Yeah.
We can't just get like
yeah.
No Mad show
Men.
Title?
Mad Men.
Yeah. Mad Men?
Mad Men. Yes. Yeah, something. Yeah. By the way, Tom Hanks said this, that and The Sopranos, the two most impactful television shows in history. Mad Men and The Sopranos.
Wait, you know what? You know what I went as for Halloween?
I love from Breaking Bad.
I went as
Breaking Bad.
Don Draper.
Did
and my
really?
Wife went as Betsy. I can show you that picture.
Oh, yeah?
She's a dead ringer for Betsy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean,
yes,
she got the wig, she got the hair.
Betty Draper. Betty Draper.
Sorry,
Betty
Draper. She called her Betsy or Bets or whatever.
Right.
She called her Bets.
Right.
Yeah, and I went as Don. My costume was easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yours
I just had a nice suit
and
bought a skinny tie.
Yeah, you look like
and just
Johnny
made sure everybody and made sure everyone else could see your 11-inch man missile.
Yeah, I know, right? Is that you think that's true?
No, no, it was famous. It was so I. Oh, yeah. Mark James just gave me the face like, Fitzy, what the F are you talking about?
Thanks for making me feel more insecure.
No. Dude, look, literally Google it right now as you think about eating that Framingham cafeteria sheet pizza, right? They used to have to tell him.
Put it
they
away?
They used to have to tell him, Mr. Ham. I mean, it's not an accident that his name is Ham with two M's, if you know what I mean. They would tell him, please wear underwear on the set. It is distracting too many of the crew members. He's got a full Belichick. He literally has like Mike Reese may not be as tall as he's long.
This is WEI Late Night.
Oh yeah, I mean he's like right. He's a man.
Wow.
All right, well let's welcome our guest.
Yeah, yes. The very
speaking
generous.
Of guys with big members, the very generous.
Yes, and I benevolent know. Dakota from Braintree, who called in earlier tonight. And Dakota, I was listening live when it happened, and you made a donation of $10,000. First and foremost, thank you
hold
very
on,
much.
let's hear because yes. I want to play this yes. in real time because I literally thought he was full of crap.
I want to help you get over the top of your goal. So I'm going to make. I can't think of anything else that I would donate more to than this. So I want to donate $10,000.
Whoa!
Whoa!
You
whoa!
Over the top.
Whoa!
So
whoa! Whoa!
What?
No wait a second.
Hold on a second.
Somebody, wait a second. Wait, is this a prank caller? I didn't believe it was actually happening. The everything about it. Didn't smell right. Didn't smell right. So Dakota, I mean, thanks for coming in. You're a type 1 diabetic.
Thanks
this
for
is actually
me.
Just as important to you as it is
yeah.
to me. I mean, all the stories we can swap back and forth, I mean, are probably just insane.
Yeah, it's, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I have friends all the time that have little kids that just get diagnosed and that one – the parents end up freaking out, and they don't know what
sure.
to do. And that's the problem. I mean, your son was, what, 17? 17.
Wow.
Which is difficult in itself, and I think, as I mentioned, I would never wish this on, you know, a young child.
How long have you had it, Dakota?
So,
how many years?
It's 2006 I was diagnosed.
Oh. So you've
and,
had it. This
and how'd
is
you know?
14 years.
What were the telltale signs?
So I was still playing baseball at the time, and I used to pitch, used to be able to go deep into a game, whatever. And then all of a sudden, a week or 2 weeks leading up, I just ran out of gas around the third inning and getting real tired. And then my vision started going, losing like a pop-up. And I'm like,
yeah.
Why can't I see that? The catcher's putting down signals. I can't see them. I'm like, you got to come out here. I go, I can't see what you're putting down. And then I had another game on the North Shore, whatever. And I don't know what it was, that I've never had a Red Bull with sugar at all. And I craved it. My body was craving sugar because it couldn't process it correctly. So
you're peeing it out.
I grabbed a Red Bull. I chugged it. Next morning, I'm in my office. I start getting the shakes. And I'm on the phone with my mom. I'm like, yeah, Mom, I really don't feel good. She's like, yeah, it's been like 2 weeks. She goes, why don't you just go to the doctors to get it checked out? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'm ready to start my work day. On the way to work, I stop at 7-Eleven. You know what I get?
Big
I buy?
Gulp. Big gulp.
No. I buy a 2-liter Mountain Dew. I buy a 2-liter Pepsi. I buy those chocolate-covered donuts. No, I don't eat anything eggs or something in the morning. I don't even eat much. But this is my body's telling me I got to go grab this stuff. And I had no idea. I just thought I was thirsty. So anyways, after about 2 hours, I'm shaking like crazy. I can't look at the computer. The screen's getting all fuzzy. I go to Harvard Vanguard and Braintree, and my doctor comes in after taking a few tests. I told him to send me. He goes, "How did you get here?" I'm like, "Well, I drove." He's like, "You need to get to the ER." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You're a type 1 diabetic." He goes, "Your blood sugar level right now is over 500.
Oh,
I'm like, "I don't even know what that means at this point.
Well, what does that mean for us? Because I don't...
So your normal blood sugar level for an adult, non-diabetic, is going to be anywhere between, 80 and 120 for a blood sugar level. You know, after you eat a big pasta meal or eat some, something juice, something high, you get a spike maybe to 140, 150. But your pancreas has islet cells. It produces the insulin. So if you do eat something heavy carb, your body produces more insulin to kind of offset that, to cover it. So I'm 500 at this point. I'm like looking at myself going, what just happened? And I didn't know, I had nobody in my family with diabetes. So this was new to me. And I go, well, can I go home? Can I, get my things together? If I have to go to the ER and get checked in, I need some things. So he goes, I don't advise it, but you drove here. You want to drive there. He goes, just get up to the South Shore Hospital as soon as you can. So I went home, threw a bunch of stuff in a duffel bag, went up to South Shore. They admitted me right to ER. My blood sugar level at that point was 700. Mm. And they basically hooked me up to an IV plugged me. And tried it. And so there I'm in the third day. They finally come in and I'm meeting the endo. And they're like, all right, here you go. This is a syringe. Here's the insulin. You got to mix this. And I'm like, this is crazy. Wow.
This is my life now.
I'm like, how did this happen? And I'm just, fortunately, I'm very analytical and very anal about a lot of things.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm fortunate to have the right personality for it, because I started doing a lot of reading about, what can happen if you run yourself too hot. I didn't want to go blind. I don't want to lose a leg or a foot or anything. I want to live. My grandfather lived until he was 96. I'm like, okay, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
So to me, I take it very seriously. There isn't an hour or 2 hours that go by that I don't test my blood sugar levels. And I'm still active. I still play basketball, whatever, golf. I'm always trying to do whatever I want to do. You ask me about, do you still drink? And I go, yeah, I drink Bacardi and water, no fruit. And this way it won't affect my blood sugar level. I try not to eat at night. That's the problem. Eating late at night can just throw everything, out of whack.
What's late at night for you? 9 o'clock?
I'll have a snack before bed, but I can't eat a dinner, after 10 o'clock, that's going to have a lot of carbs. Because at that point, I'm not looking to give myself a fast-acting shot. I'm looking to give myself the overnight Lantus. Yep. And at that point, that's not going to work enough to get against a good meal. So,
How long did it take you to acclimate to when you first were diagnosed with it? And they're like, okay, this is your life now. How long did it take you to finally just get used to where, okay, this was before type 1 diabetes. This is now after type 1 diabetes.
So interesting enough, and I'm not sure if your son went through this, I was in denial. You go to Jocelyn and, you sit there and they say, all right, this is what you are. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, this is not true. It can't. And at that point, you have a honeymoon phase. Did your son go through the honeymoon phase?
He's in it now.
He's in the honeymoon phase.
He's all over the place.
So you're in the honeymoon phase. Your pancreas still is producing insulin. Just
inconsistent.
Exactly. Just not at the same rate that your body needs for you. So during the honeymoon phase, I'm like, no insulin. Just going to go all protein, no carbs. I'm going to just live off whatever's left in my body from that my pancreas can perform. And after about 9 months, it just nosedives, and now it doesn't produce any insulin, so you have to take it.
Isn't it crazy, though? There is this weird – my son has said it multiple times. Dad, I don't have diabetes. I mean, because he's in a good phase, and nothing's really going crazy. And then 2 weeks ago, hey, Caleb's is being rushed to the hospital.
Yep.
Like, for what? I mean, it's just passing out. Spiked low, just dropped. Woo, woo, woo. I have this app on my phone, the Dexcom that I was telling you about.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it. I'm waiting for it.
That monitors your glucose level. So, and it gives you a 24-hour, I mean, you guys might hate this stuff, but so everyone is on it. So I'm on it. My wife's on it. His mother's on it. So, I mean, I leave it on. When I'm at work, I have it here like this, and I just sit here and I watch it.
Yep.
Right. And I'm like, oh crap. And I'm anal about it. Beep, beep, beep. Caleb,
yep.
Go eat something. You know, he's 18, you know, and his numbers are all over the place. So he's spiking at 400, and then he's down to 95. I'm like, dude, it's what the hell? You know, because there is this fear, long-term issues. You're
yes.
young. Yeah. I'm invincible. No right. issues, dad. You get to 40, 50. You're like, oh, crap. You're starting to, you know, reap the, you know, pay the price for not being diligent. I think that's the biggest thing with especially kids is like how they need to learn to be disciplined. And my son's going to college.
Yep.
I don't want him to go away to college.
Yeah.
And I want to go to BC.
He's a senior right now?
Yeah. Yeah. He committed to Colorado.
Okay.
He's going to Boulder?
He's going to Boulder.
Wants to be like
dad's
that.
Footsteps.
Yeah, you know, I didn't push it. But, you know, it is.
Is Vrabel's kid going there too?
No, he's at BC.
That's why he didn't go to BC.
Yeah. No, no. But, yeah. So, anyways, it is fascinating to me personally to hear the stories. To hear how people, because I feel like everybody maintains it differently. Every time when this happened, I called so many people. I was like, well, so what do you do? And they say, well, everybody's different. Everybody. Well, everybody's different. You're different.
Sure.
You're different, yeah. You know. Yeah. And my goal would be, geez, I wish you would get to that level, Caleb. Like, get your you know, crap together. Let's go.
Right.
You know, but he has enough scares, you know. Then I think you'll figure out. The eyesight thing was crazy. Like, he was going blind.
Yep.
He couldn't see. He literally couldn't see. And I was like, that felt like a crappy dad. I'm like, he just had his knee scope. I'm like, geez, I never lost my eyesight after I had a meniscus tear.
Yeah.
It never happened when I had a scope. So
he got this in the spring, though, right?
Got it in the spring. He took a trip to Iowa.
Oh.
He was going to, you know, Iowa, went to LSU, went to Ole Miss.
Wow.
And then next thing you know, he was at Iowa, and he was peeing every 10 seconds. It was like every 10 seconds, he'd drink water. Hey, you want? And he would drink it, and he was like, dad, I felt weird because I kept – leaving to go to the bathroom. They probably thought something was wrong with me. I had to call the coach and say, listen, you know, yesterday he came home and basically got home from Iowa and got diagnosed. So I had to call the coach, and it was weird because I was like, oh, crap, they're going to drop him. You know, they're like, they don't want to deal with it. They don't get it. But no, all of them were like, no, we still love him. Let's go.
Awesome.
That was refreshing.
So Kirk Ferentz is a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
As far as programs go,
yes.
Unless, do you really know them? Like on a recruiting trip?
Yeah, you
know. I mean, do you know? No, everybody's kissing your ass.
Right. Like,
you
courtship. Really, it's a first date.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
It's a prom ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know a movie I just watched last night? I never thought it got the Just Do It deserved, but I love it. And it actually did get Rotten Tomatoes 84%, but I was thinking about, you said recruiting trip. He got Game with Ray Allen. When he went on the recruiting
Jesus
trip.
Jesus Shuttlesworth.
And Rick Fox opens the door. And it was Mindy and Buffy. He goes, Brooklyn's definitely in the house now. Remember that?
It's pretty good movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. But how's he dealing with it?
He's actually doing great considering he had, you know, he had just got diagnosed and then like football camp started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's funny. We reached out to Mark Andrews, who was a type 1 diabetic for the Baltimore Ravens tight end. I went to Oklahoma. He's been diagnosed since he was like 10, you know, so – the thing he told me, and I challenge everybody to do this, like next time you watch a Baltimore Ravens game, you probably have to be at the game. Watch Mark Andrews throughout the entire game. He comes off and he checks his blood 18 to 20 times a game.
Yeah.
For that same reason.
When you're playing sports, like I just came from the gym. I played basketball for 2 hours. Your body will give you different indications when you're working out, thinking you're going low or going too high. And, you know, stress can actually raise your blood sugar levels, too. So the stress of doing something from an athletic standpoint can actually spike it. And then what happens is your body starts working it off because you've got a good sweat going. And then you start nosediving. Sure. That's why Mark Andrews, you know, will test 18 to 20 times a game. I used to get in battles with the Big O back in the day when Jay Cutler was terrible. But it was all in night games. And Jay Cutler was a type 1 diabetic.
Yeah, he was.
And we're so regimented that to me, you know, Jay Cutler, I'm sure, did everything because of 1 o'clock football games. So when he had a game, whether it was a Monday night or a Sunday night game, it throws off your whole level of what you're used to. So he might go into a game really sluggish, even though his blood sugar levels are fine, just because that's not normal. He got himself in the solid regimen.
You feel bad because all the criticism he took.
Yeah, and I used to battle with Glenn all the time about this.
Wow.
About, listen, lay off. You don't know if this is a diabetic situation or not, and that he has, because he has trouble. Because every time he would falter, it's on a big game on Monday or Sunday night, and he's got linemen come at him, and he just goes to the ground and throws these terrible interceptions.
Right.
But then there's other games where he'll go out and throw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. Very inconsistent. That's what happens when you're a type 1 diabetic. So, you have inconsistency.
So how the hell did he beat the Patriots on Monday Night Football in 2017 then?
I wondered that because I was, you know, this is obviously something known. He might have, maybe he said to himself.
Maybe he had a good day.
He might have had a good day, but he might have tried, looked at the situation and changed up something that maybe gave his body some energy or something going into a night game. So because he was always terrible at night or never perform well. So.
It's interesting because now he took a lot of flack because he wasn't the goat, you know, rah-rah, didn't seem like it. But the amazing thing about it, not one teammate ever say anything bad about him. They all got his back. Urlacher, Greg Olsen, they love him.
What about when he was throwing his lineman under the bus?
I don't know about
that.
They
liked him too?
I don't know. Probably not.
He is an odd dude.
He's a mercurial individual.
And
always looked pouty. Or just looked like he was disinterested. I mean, the most interesting he ever looked is when that blog Smoke and Jay Cutler came out.
He was diagnosed when he was in Denver. He got diagnosed.
No. Oh, okay. Somebody made a whole blog of like pictures of him smoking cigarettes. It's the funny. It was
Did they attach the cigarette or was he actually?
They photoshopped cigarettes in his mouth. It was hilarious. Yeah.
You know how they do.
I did not know that.
All right,
so we hit the diabetes segment.
Yeah, well, yeah. No,
Dakota's here.
Are
we breaking right now? So we can.
We're gonna break. Okay. We're gonna break.
And we're blowing through breaks all day.
We're gonna deliver on the tease of Dakota. Think of yours. The best, the most fictional sporting event, as Fitzy put, that you could go to in a movie, something that you would love to be at, just that really didn't happen, never happened.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you, Dakota, think about it. Yeah. The number 617-779-7937. It's Christian Fourier's 25 for 25 and WEEI Late Night. Yes, voice guy. It's WEEI Late Night, Christian Fourier, Fitzy, and the very benevolent Dakota from Braintree. I am Mark James, and we are doing the right thing here. Fourier is not even hit the halfway mark.
Let me give you an update.
What are we on the tote board? Give us some.
Let's see. It's late night, so people are sleeping.
I know.
So we're at 41,796.
Okay. Hey, we're near 42. Let's maybe get to 45 in the next hour.
I think we should have a goal.
45 by the next hour.
Oh, 45 by the time we punch out.
Yep. Yeah. I think
75 by the time you get off the air at 3 o'clock.
Oh, yes.
I like that.
Easily.
Okay.
We need to hit the left coast somehow. Like the people that are still
up. Yeah, Brad in San Diego, where are you?
Yeah. How can we do that? Do we know anybody that lives out? Who's the most famous person you guys have on your phone?
Steph Curry.
That lives out in the West Coast.
Steph Curry.
Let's do it.
James Woods.
What are we doing here?
James Woods?
You know, I think we should start calling people.
James Woods?
How the hell
do you have James? That's not that I'm surprised because you're Dakota from Braintree.
Wait a second. You mean Lester Diamond?
The guy in
Casino?
Yeah.
Gave 10K.
No, I know. It's DFB. I get it. It's Dakota from Braintree. I know the man literally snaps his fingers and disappears.
Would he answer the phone?
50-50.
Oh, we're going to try. Before you leave, we're trying. Okay. I have a new kid's on the block number in my phone.
Who is it? Which one? Jordan Knight?
No, hold on. I think
Joey
it's
Joey McIntyre.
You know what? He gave it to me at the Super Bowl.
Is it going
to
be weird if I just dial my phone and all of a sudden Fourier rings?
I don't even know what his name is. I'll screw it. Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
Let's do this. All right. What is this?
Little New Kids on the Block.
Oh, New Kids. He's
nice.
Playing New Kids for
hanging
you.
Hanging tough.
Okay. No, I thought you were going to play a little you've got the right stuff. What's the one? Step by Step. Step by Step,
I think Hanging Tough is like the one, like if you're going to you need a New Kids song that's going to pop and make you think New Kids.
Yeah.
I'd say Hanging Tough usually.
Yeah. Or You Got the Right Stuff.
You got the right stuff.
Right, exactly.
I think my wife was the New Kids stalker. She grew up in Canton.
Can I tell you guys a great story about the New Kids?
Yeah, I would love
I grew up in Braintree, so when they really popped in 89, it's not just Dakota who's from Braintree. It's also Fitzy from Braintree. So
we're originally from Braintree, though.
Originally,
the Wahlbergs,
yes. The Wahlbergs, they're carpetbaggers. They're transplants.
Right.
Carpetbaggers, right?
Where were they from originally, Wahlberg?
Dorchester.
Yeah.
Dorchester. Okay.
Yeah, there's still a guy missing an eye that can attest to Mark Wahlberg's greatness. But
right.
This is excellent. So,
yes.
So they start to do really well, and all of a sudden, the Wahlbergs decide to buy their mom, who's got the restaurant named after her now in Hingham.
Alma.
Alma, right?
Right. Alma.
They buy her a house two roads away from mine where I grew up on Faxon Street on Pilgrim Road, which I used to walk by all the time going to Morrison Elementary School. When they buy her this really nice house, which has like security around, a little security around it, but still like reasonably accessible, there are just kids.
If you wanted to do a Godfather type hit, yeah.
Well, I'm going to get to the story.
Ooh.
So, yeah, yeah. Ooh. So, but it's the lamest Godfather hit in history.
Oh.
So, all these girls are basically just hanging out at the top of my street, the bottom of this road.
Jesus.
And it's nothing but all these 13 to 16-year-old girls that loser me in my bum equipment shirt and my Gerbeau jeans and British Knight sneakers would never have a chance getting with.
Gerbeau jeans, I remember.
I wanted to paint the full picture.
Hey, don't forget
Listen,
jeans.
Fourier, I may or may not have had a Vonnet t-shirt on at some point.
I don't know what that is.
What about Sweat by Ebi? Did you have any of those?
No, never had
those. You know
you're
what
too
I
young for Sweat
I
by
had
Ebi?
Guest jeans, and if I got lucky, right. I got the Gerbeau jeans.
Don't
you
forget about Pepe jeans.
Oh, of course. Listen, that was more college for me.
Yeah.
I had a pair of Adidas with five stripes. That's how poor we were.
Wow. The five-stripe Adidas?
Mom! These aren't Adidas. Shut up, they are.
It was Adidas spelled with three Ds, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, seriously?
So one loser Saturday night on the South Shore, I'm hanging out with a buddy of mine named Chris, and we're just like, you know, what are you doing Saturday night? Oh, we just went driving around looking for fun and found no fun. And we're in my neighborhood, and we're just like, let's just drive by the new kid's house. Let's see what's going on up there. And we drove by, and nothing was happening. So we turn around, and we drive back, and we're like, you want to just yell? Why don't we do it? Let's just do it. And we rolled the windows down, and we just went like, one, two, three. And we both yelled, new kids suck! Ah! And we rolled the windows up and high-fived and thought we were hilarious. We sped off.
That is cool.
Within 6 seconds,
yeah.
Six police cars surrounded me.
Shut the front door.
Nope. And this guy got out of his car. He pulled diagonally in front of me. He was unmarked. He was a security detail on at night. And he comes out, hops out of his car, and I'm like, oh, I start immediately like, maybe I'm peeing, I may be turtleheading a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna die right here, right now. What just happened? Who is this guy? What the hell's going on? And he's like, hey, mother blanker, I want you to shut the mother blanking car off, get your effing license and your effing registration now, let's go. And he basically wanted to throw the fear of God in me, and all these police cars showed up. Because there were people that were harassing the Wahlbergs all the time. And we just thought it was like a fun 16-year-old stupid, I just got my license prank. But apparently they were getting harassed all the time. So I got written up so I was so freaked out I couldn't find my license or registration. Got a $70 ticket and I had to go protest it in Quincy District Court. Is this about as long as Butch Stearns?
Oh, sorry, Butch. Sorry, Butch, stop!
Butch's still on the line?
Butch Fitzy.
Before I got here, I was in the parking lot. Was that a recording of Butch, or did he call in after midnight?
No, he called in about, like, I was listening about 8:30, 45.
Come on, I want to play this game. Let's go.
All right, let's go.
This.
All right, fix it.
No more.
At 1:02, yeah. I ate up some time telling my new kid story.
But, by the way, I respect that a lot out of you. That, to me, you went up even more. Like, that's sort of like a little bit of rebellion in you that you – and, by the way, if you were – all right. Listen, we're about the same age, early 40s. Like, you hated new kids. So good that you actually went to one of their houses.
You're doing it now. Do you want to play the game or not?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Do we have time to do it?
Yes. Do we have time?
I've lost track of time. When are we breaking?
All right.
We're going to take another break?
On the other side.
Okay, we have
good. I need time to think anyways.
We're all going to make a pact.
We're never going to get to
you
it.
You guys are the worst.
We are getting
I've been talking to Fitzy about this. We still have to get to Broadway Place.
I know. We got to get to we have favorite musicals. Oh, listen, please. Gilroy, turn around. We're going to take your shift.
Gilroy, go back home.
You're fine.
All right, let's go.
Brad Faux Show. All right, we'll come back on the other side right here. Christian Fourier, late at night, 25 for 25 on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.